go! Welcome to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Steve Schaubecker. Get ready to get behind the scenes look into what it really takes to grow a business from scratch in the firearms industry. Join us as we welcome industry titans, Second Amendment enthusiasts, and special guests each week. I welcome you to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.
Welcome back to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Steve Schaubecker, your host, and I'm excited to be back with you for another great episode this week. This week, we're going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about a topic that will be both beneficial for those of you that listen that have a gun shop or are considered getting into the industry, as well as you consumers out there that just love guns. So what we're going to talk about is the industry trends and what we can expect for 2022. So 2021 was weird. There wasn't a whole lot that went on other than more of the same. We still had a lot of ammunition shortages. Some guns were still in short supply. But what we did see in the fourth quarter of 2021 is a big recovery. So we're seeing a lot more SKUs that are available and a lot more variety of guns that are available. Ammunition's gotten a little bit looser, as well as the prices are starting to fall a little bit. They're not really where we're hoping they're going to go to, but at least they're headed in the right direction. So really, the first thing I want to talk about is really what the market's asking for. So some of the things that were super popular in 2021 and that we expect to see more of in 2022 is we expect to see more companies in the firearms industry coming out with micro-compact handguns where capacity is king. You know, you have the entries such as the P365, 365 XL, the Springfield Hellcat, the Glock 43X or 48, the new Smith & Wesson Shield Plus, and the latest to the list would probably be the Taurus GX4. And while I'm never usually too excited about Taurus's semi-automatic offerings, the GX4 is pretty darn good, especially for the price. The trigger is very, very good. It seems like a well-made gun. We have one that we're putting some rounds through, so we will report back, as many others are also. But real excited about the possibility of that one in a sub-$400 street price on a Optics Ready, the Toro edition. Should be pretty awesome for concealed carriers everywhere. But we're definitely seeing a lot of expansion in that category. You know, the other one that people are asking for, and Smith & Wesson had a real hit with the first iteration of it, was the Shield 380 EZ, and then they came out with the 9 EZ. I would fully expect for some other manufacturers to come out with something like that. It was just so popular and so well adopted that I would expect that you would see something like that for those folks that have trouble manipulating a typical semi-automatic handgun, whether it's a hand strength issue or some of the other things that it could be, maybe an arthritis issue, but still like to be able to carry a semi-automatic, like something that loads easy, like something that racks easy. I'm sure that there should be something else coming for some others, so people will have some other choices along those lines. Those are really the two things that have really been big in 2021. The other one, of course, would be optics on Optics Ready handguns. You know, you've seen it for some time on, you know, full-size guns, but more in the concealed carry and really, you know, micro compact guns. A lot of them are coming Optics Ready now, and I fully expect that we will see a lot more offerings on the market for different optics also. So those are really exciting things. Of course, the SHOT Show is coming up in next week, and it is going to be a interesting one. So a lot of the big names have pulled out. Six Hour won't be there. Beretta and all their holdings won't be there. So there's been a few of the bigger ones. It's still going on. We're still, of course, sending a representative, and it'll be interesting to see what's new there. Honestly, this year, I don't think we're going to see a ton. I think a lot of the manufacturers have put a lot of their effort towards how they can better optimize their manufacturing processes and get guns out, as opposed to a whole lot of innovation this year. But hey, I could certainly be wrong, and I would love to see that happen. You know, the other thing we certainly see a huge uptick in Illinois here, especially, is the fact that new gun owners that have never owned a gun before, specifically never owned a pistol before, are now coming into the arena and purchasing guns. I think it last year, 2021, I believe the number was about over 8 million, close to 9 million guns purchased in the state of Illinois. By far the biggest state purchasing in the nation. And I want to say they quadrupled the closest competitor. I want to say, if I remember right from the article, Texas was just under 2 million and a much bigger state, much bigger population. But Illinois won with about, I think it was 8.8 million guns purchased last year. We won't expect to see anything like that this year. But we are seeing, though, that in Illinois, we have a FOID card that you have to be able to purchase and a gun or ammunition. And a lot of the folks that applied for that back shortly after COVID times are finally getting their cards, and they're finally getting into buying their gun purchases, where they did last year, and there's still be some this year too. But along those lines, the other thing that I think we're going to see a huge boom on is training. Next to the, of course, firearms and ammunition, training is something you definitely need, especially all these new shooters. So I think the more we embrace training, and of course, a lot of it's in person, that's great things. But other things like Mantis, which allows you to do a lot of great dry fire training, which is a fantastic product. We're actually going to have somebody on from Mantis here shortly in the next upcoming weeks to talk about their product and talk about how it relates into the training segment. In addition to that, I believe that you'll see a lot more online training and video type training, which unfortunately is going to mean there's going to be a lot more garbage floating around. We see a lot of those scams, like the whole in Illinois, we need a 16-hour class and a live range qualification to be able to apply for a concealed carry permit. There's people advertising, hey, take this online half-hour class and get a gun permit, carry a gun everywhere. Well, it doesn't work that way in all states. Some states you don't need anything, but a lot of states you do need something, and a half-hour online class is typically not going to do it for you. Very misleading in that. But I expect we'll see a lot of garbage floating around much like that. There'll certainly be some good things. We're certainly going to be, Tactical Entrepreneur is going to be partnering with a couple folks to put out a great online training. So stay tuned for that. But training in person too, there's, with the price of ammunition, it's tough for some folks, but there is absolutely nothing that beats live fire training. Dry fire is fine. There's a lot of great tools, but at the end of the day, you need to put rounds down range to fully get the feel of your gun to really get proficient. The other thing that we're definitely seeing a growth in is a lot of folks have taken up reloading since the price of ammunition has been up. And there certainly have been some shortages in parts for ammunition too, primers and whatnot. But we certainly think we're going to see an uptick as that stuff becomes more available. We think we're going to see a huge rise in people choosing to reload. One from the practical standpoint of it, but also the other one simply from it's kind of a neat thing to do, and much like building a firearm, it's neat when you're able to actually put it together yourself and see how it goes together, and it can be quite therapeutic, just the repetitiveness of it if you do it while you're watching TV or something like that. The other area really to hit on is I think we're going to see a lot more do-it-yourself stuff. I think we're going to see an uptick in the sales of tools and supplies, and also the uptick in, we're really big into, building your own firearms, AR-15s, AR-10s especially. I think we're going to see a lot more people taking and deciding that, hey, I want to build one myself and really see what goes into it. It's kind of a neat experience in and of itself, but there's also something that says, hey, you know what, I built this gun. I didn't buy this gun off the shelf. And I actually have all the tools, set up, all the accessories on it, the color scheme, everything that I want is right from the beginning. So I don't have to spend money on parts twice like I would if I buy an off-the-shelf rifle or off-the-shelf firearm and just want to take and customize it for myself. I won't have all these extra parts laying around. Now, the good thing about when you do have extra parts laying around is it's just an excuse to go ahead and build yourself another rifle. Yeah, we're real excited for 2022 and hopefully getting back to some sense of normalcy in the industry. While some of the changes are definitely good, it's neat to see people really embrace you know, the Second Amendment even more. I mean, this last year we've gotten more people in our shop that I thought we would, you know, either of our shops that I thought never would have set foot in there. But it's been really neat to see and having a lot of great conversations. And at the end of the day, I think it's really great for the Second Amendment. The more people we can get involved in it, and the more shooters out there is the better the industry will do in the end. But it's definitely on us as store owners, training center owners, range owners, you know, to really embrace these new people and make sure that they are able to take and enjoy the sport as much as we do, and make sure that we can take them by the hand and that we can show them, you know, really what is so cool about the Second Amendment and the firearm sport, and whether we're shooting for sport or we're shooting to train, you know, or we're building guns or, you know, smithing guns or any of those sorts of things. It's all great stuff, and it's all neat. You know, some of the coolest things I see is see people that'll come in and we'll have a particular gun they built or something that their great grandfather bought, and being able to hand down those heirloom firearms from generation to generation. We really, really enjoy the fact that to see people getting their children involved and people getting the fact that it just becomes a family activity. To get back on topic here, you know, as far as the other trends that we also see, you know, we'll definitely see some differences in ammunition in the future. There's an interesting couple of different things that are being done as far as firearms innovation and actually in the type of ammunition. There's a couple companies messing around with ammunition made with a aluminum case. It's not your typical stuff that's already out there. It's actually a different design altogether. But likely there'd have to be some changes to firearms to be able to make them fire this. But it's kind of neat to see the kind of innovations that are coming down the pipe. The other thing we'll see that I haven't been a fan of to this point because it's just not there, but you'll start to see polymer-cased ammunition. Yeah, I said polymer-cased ammunition. It seems kind of scary, but and now our guns are a lot made of polymer these days, but I'm not quite there yet, but we'll see. It's definitely out there. It's definitely becoming more of a thing. A lot of companies working on it. And the other thing we will definitely see as the polymers become a lot more advanced, we'll see more and more gun parts made of them, and definitely will be interesting to see where that goes. Yeah, the only other thing I'd like to touch on would be the fact of where things are going with the Optics Ready pistols. Now, there's a lot of talk back and forth about, okay, this gun's best, this one's best, this gun's best. You know, there's definitely some resistance to embracing some of the striker fire technologies. We're definitely even seeing that even more on the pistol optics side. So here's the thing about it, is it's not a replacement for iron sights. If anybody tells you that it's a replacement for iron sights, don't listen to them. You always need to know how to shoot iron sights. And with anybody else, with anybody starting to shoot, I would 100% of the time suggest teaching them with irons first. That's a skill you need to know. Anytime you run an optic, you're always going to want to have some sort of a backup, and that's usually going to be iron sights. So definitely learn with irons, standard sights first. And then move into an optic. But here's where optics really shine. You know, of course, we're seeing them, especially on pistols. We're seeing them a lot, very, very often, you know, in competition shooters, you know, three-gun pistol competition, all those sorts of things. They definitely make a big difference if they're set up right and allow you to acquire the target much faster, move from target to target, and definitely be more accurate at distance. The other neat thing that they enable you to do is they're really a great training tool, too. Because when you're shooting with an optic, you're going to see every little movement in you. So if you have too much trigger finger, if you're pushing, if you're pulling, if you're anticipating, any of those things, if you watch, you are going to see. And you will see in the end that where that dot goes, that's where the round goes. So it can be a great training tool to enable you to actually see in real time what you're doing when you're firing each round. Now, some people will say, well, I just move too much. It just doesn't look natural for me. It's tough for me to focus on that, and I'm not able to be effective with it. Well, it takes some practice. It's definitely different. You also have to make sure that you buy a good optic. You buy a $50 optic, it's not going to be a great experience. The glass is not going to be good. It's probably not going to be glass. It's going to be plastic, and it's going to be a really low quality plastic. So it's not going to be a fun thing to shoot with. Spend the money once, buy once, cry once on a good quality optic, and you will like it. The key where it really shines too is whenever you're shooting from an awkward position. So if you're standing up straight and you're not trying to shoot around the barricade or do anything, just simply standing there shooting at paper, you can be absolutely effective very easily with traditional sights. But when you're doing things like you're shooting around barricades, or it's more of an actual defense situation where you're moving and shooting, or you're shooting at a goofy angle, or you're laying down shooting, or any of those scenarios where you're not just standing up and you're not standing up straight, that's where the optic is really going to help you, because it gets past the brain thing where you learn to just put the dot on the target and go. Whereas lining up the two sights, obviously, if say you're holding the gun at a 45 degree angle, okay, well now your brain seems to think, okay, left, right, up, down, well it changes that by 45 degrees, and it's very, very hard to adapt to. You can do it with practice, but it's much easier with the dot, and I think that's the reason why we see so many police departments allowing them, some even requiring them. It certainly makes shooting a lot easier at those weird angles and a lot of the training things, and certainly becomes standard too, where you get your like Trudicon Type 2 RMRs, where you get a lot of your self-adjusting optics where it's going to adjust for you to the light conditions, and it's just going to be ready to go. So that's one thing that we definitely see. The other thing I missed that we're actually seeing and I think is going to be big is, up to this point, we've seen some guns in 5.7, as they call them, or 5.7 by 28. Well, that caliber, for whatever reason, it's always been hard to get. They've never produced a lot of it. In good times, it seems like the ammo is always hard to find. Well, it seems like there's a lot more guns jumping into that space, everything from the Ruger 5.7 to one of the coolest ones, I think, is the latest one, is the Kel-Tec P-50. Now, that's their big pistol chambered in 5.7 28, but it actually takes the round from the FN P90s. And it, 50 round magazine, it kind of fits right in the middle of the gun. It's kind of a neat design, kind of different. Pretty cool. Pretty cool to have a 50 round mag on a pistol and not having it stick down, 2 feet below the gun. So, interesting thing. I think we're going to see a lot more. That's a great caliber. I think we're going to see it embraced more. And I'm really excited to see what some of the other manufacturers come up with to compete with that. Well, that's really all I have for this week. I hope that was beneficial to you. If you have any questions, or hey, if you want to chat about something, certainly hit me up on Facebook or hit me up on Instagram. I'm happy to continue the conversation. Happy to share whatever things we've come across. Until next week, everybody stay safe out there. This is Steve Schaubacher, the Tactical Entrepreneur. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're still listening to this episode, that means you gained some type of value. So if you could share this to a friend, leave a review, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.